Prime Minister attended the funeral of Bondi terror attack victim Peter Marr yesterday as he reportedly mulls reversing his decision not to hold a federal royal commission into the attack. The coalition is demanding an early recall of Parliament while questioning how the government is resourcing counter-terrorism initiatives. John O'Dunham is the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. You've said the intelligence agencies are in crisis. You say it's now clear the government has under-resourced and deprioritized the terror threat. What evidence do you have for that?
Well, it's not just made up, I can assure you of that. And when you have officials from within these agencies speaking to journalists from across the spectrum, confirming the reports around under-resourcing, it is very much a cause for concern. And we only have to look at some of those very basic facts around the fact that the terror threat level for our country was raised to probable toward the end of 2024. But in response to that, the government haven't invested an extra dollar in that. The most recent report, of course, highlighting that we saw a counter-terror unit disbanded weeks before the Bondi terror attack, speaks to the government's blindness to this issue. The warnings that were being issued, not just from within agencies like the AFP, when you have the Australian Federal Police Association, the union representing staff, talking about under-resourcing being at chronic levels and those sorts of claims being made, how the government did nothing to respond to these concerning elevations of threat in this country baffles me, frankly.
Well, the Prime Minister insists the AFP has record funding and that every single request for more funding was supported by the government. Isn't it up to the agency to make requests if it needs more funding, which it doesn't seem to have done?
Well, that flies in the face, frankly, of the claims, again, of the staff union, the Australian Federal Police Association, who had made it very clear to government directly that when you have staff within the AFP who are tasked with monitoring people who are a risk to our society, monitoring between 20 and 30 cases each, they specified that this was unsustainable. There was a report to government commissioned from within the AFP in 2024, which highlighted this specifically. Now, this was done before the terror threat level was raised to probable later that year, 2024. Things were bad enough when threat levels were at possible, but when things have been increased to probable, which is 50% plus risk of an event occurring, which ultimately did happen, as we now know, sadly, that is, I believe, an abrogation of duty by this government.
Well, the AFP says there's no correlation between the attack and the decisions made on any funding allocation. Aren't you at risk of just politicising the tragedy here?
Well, I think it's important to be very clear and say that it is not just because of resourcing decisions or allocations of existing resources that these events have occurred. But I think most people, your listeners included, would understand that if resources are not being allocated as we would expect them to be to heightened terror threat level situations, then, of course, things are not going to work out optimally. Just this week, of course, when you see that the federal government-led AFP agency shutting down its national surveillance team, the group of individuals who were tasked with monitoring high-risk terrorist offenders, how is that not something that would potentially contribute to this? And while it is not causal, there has to be a correlation. Every effort must be put in to protect our nation, and this government must resource agencies and support them appropriately to do exactly what we need them to do on behalf of the people of Australia.
On Radio National Breakfast, my guest is the Shadow Home Affairs Minister, John O'Dunham. If there's such a crisis as you have outlined, doesn't that lend itself to the kind of quick review that the government has been proposing, the one that the former ASIO boss, Dennis Richardson, is to carry out?
Indeed, the review by Mr. Richardson, who of course is an expert in this field, is something that should occur, but the concerns that have been expressed by many, including the families of the victims of the Bondi massacre, this can't be it It can't just be an internal behind-closed-doors review where we may or may not see all of the findings of that review. We may not see all of the evidence provided to that review for, you would say, very obvious reasons, given it goes to national security. But we have to remember Mr. Richardson has previously been commissioned to review the agencies. And as at today, not all of the recommendations he's previously handed down into the resources provided to and efforts of and collaboration between intelligence and security agencies in this country have been implemented. So this government actually has to take his advice from the last review he was commissioned to undertake before they say that this is the fix-all for issues related to counter-terror efforts in this country when he commissions this review or undertakes this review the government have commissioned him to undertake.
But to be clear, if a Royal Commission is called, you think it should work in tandem or not work in tandem, it should run concurrently to Dennis Richardson's review?
Well, if the government is to be taken at its word, this is a speedy response to ensure that there are every effort put in place to prevent this sort of thing from happening again. Our contention has been that this is not the answer. We should never, if we are to have proper scrutiny and accountability of government agencies, including intelligence and law enforcement agencies, in the aims of improving national security in the face of terror threat levels rising, then let's have the review. But the Royal Commission is the thing all Australians are after. It is the united call we've seen over the last week that the Prime Minister has very much opposed. So it is interesting that reporting is suggesting that they're softening their view to this. But, of course, any investigation, any review, any effort into ensuring that we never see these events occur again is something we should undertake.
You say all Australians, we certainly get a fair number of texts from people saying that they don't think a Royal Commission is a good use of time or money. That's surely an exaggeration.
Well, if we think that the victims' families of the tragic events of the 14th of December, if we think that the group of very eminent Australians who led national security, judicial, intelligence agencies, who penned a letter to government asking for a review, along with a range of other Australians who have the best interests of this nation at heart, be they sporting identities or business leaders. And these are all Australians who represent significant cohorts of our community and would have the support of significant cohorts of our community. There may be individuals who oppose it, texters included into your program, but frankly, I'm not seeing a good reason for this government to continue to deny giving Australia what it needs, and that is a Royal Commission into these events.
Well, so far the federal government also opposes it. Now, if Anthony Albanese does change his mind, there are reports that the former High Court Justice Virginia Bell could lead a Royal Commission. Would you welcome that?
Well, I think the key test here is that whoever is appointed, and the Coalition have made it clear that if the Prime Minister finally relents and understands what Australians are calling for here, and that is a Royal Commission, having said no now for the last couple of weeks, then those leading the Commission should be acceptable to the victims' families and the community affected by the events in Bondi. That is the test. And so once we know that they are satisfied, that would be a good thing. But again,
surely an affected community does not have the right to decide who presides over a Royal Commission.
Indeed, the government makes the decision, but what kind of a government goes and appoints someone that may potentially be in complete opposition to a community's views or not have the support of a community who is set to have issues that have affected them examined by a Royal Commission?
Former High Court Justice Virginia Bell, for example, is there any suggestion or where would the idea come from that she would act unprofessionally or not be impartial?
I haven't suggested that. I've suggested that the government should do exactly what they've said they wanted to do, and that is to unite the community. This is about us coming together and not being divisive. To that end, working with the community into whom the events that have affected them, this Royal Commission would occur and report on, they should be satisfied that this individual or the group of individuals, we think three would be a good number in line with a number of other Royal Commissions, should be something that the government takes into account. They don't make the decision. The government does. But what kind of a government would ignore any concerns or views from the Jewish community of Australia when it comes to appointing commissioner or commissioners that would lead this body of work?
Will the coalition accept whoever the government appoints?
Well, again,
were they to do that?
I'd make the point that the government should, and we support the government in doing its job properly. Part of doing its job properly is working with the Jewish community to ensure that they have confidence in the process of a royal commission, and that includes who is appointed. So it's not for the coalition to say, and it is certainly not for the government just to blindly put forward a name and hope everyone agrees with it. This is about taking the community on the journey with a royal commission, and that means having commissioners that the community can have confidence in, and that includes, very much importantly, the Jewish community.
John O'Dunham, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Barbara.
John O'Dunham is the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs.